where someone gets that, would you please read 1 through 4? Acts, the 17th chapter, 1 through 4. Anybody? Acts, the 17th chapter, verse 1 through 4.
I've got it.
Yes, ma'am.
When Paul and his companions had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue. As was his custom, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and proving that the Messiah had to suffer and rise from the dead. This Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Messiah, he said. Some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of the God-fearing Greeks and quite a few prominent women.
Sure. All right. Now, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Someone read 9 through 18.
What was it?
1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 9 through 18.
Good morning, Brother Pat.
Good morning.
Could y'all take me home and give me one title? Good
morning.
First Thessalonians 4, 9 through 18.
Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you. For you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more, and to aspire to live quietly, and to mind your own affairs, and to work with your hands as we instructed you, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, and be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words.
Okay, we know that Paul, he liked to preach in what? Synagogues. You know, that was his thing, you know, when he come. You know, some places didn't have a synagogue, but Thessalonica, they did. It says, in 1 Thessalonians, said, now concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourself are taught by God of love. Now, brotherly love is what? I'm your brother, you're my sister, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
You know, what kind of love should we give one another? Because love is something that you, what, give. Mm-hmm. Now, love is nothing that you just say and you hold on to, mm-hmm. You know, for a certain day or whatever, right? Love is something that is expressed, what, every day. So we are to love our house first, church first. In other words, before the church, we ought to love our house. I shouldn't step out my house without love, you know, making sure that I love my wife. Because if I don't love my wife, I can't come in and I won't be right with you. We first have to love one another. When love first starts, it starts where? In the heart. Okay, that's where it begins. It begins in the heart, then it comes to the home, then it comes outside, and it comes to the church. Are you with me? Love. Now, brotherly love. Phileo. What could you say about that? How should I love you in brotherly love?
Go ahead, brother. Love your neighbor as yourself.
Love your neighbors as yourself.
Christ is the perfect example of how to love one another. Mm-hmm. It's unconditional and always doing the good, what's best for others.
That's right.
Even ourselves. Mm-hmm. Christ died while we were yet sinners, or before we even turned to him, he had a love for us. Mm-hmm. And that's a hard love to have, that type of person. Because, you know, humans, we tend to hurt each other. Mm-hmm. It's hard to hurt somebody when they hurt you. Mm-hmm. Christ, he died for us when mm-hmm. we were still sinners.
Amen. Brotherly love. We have to look at brotherly love as looking at our own body. Have your right hand ever had aught with your left hand? Did not get along. Think about that, right? I'm not speaking to my left hand, and I'm not speaking to you right hand. Are you with me? We are considered this as a body. Are you with me? The eyes not getting along with the feet. That just don't resume or whatever the word is. Give me a good word for it anyway. But anyway, you know, your body gets along with your body and take care of your body. Are you with me? If something happened to my head, the whole body experiences it. If I'm in a basketball game and 1 second left and I shoot the shot and we win, we all win. And not just the hand, you know, you're going to give the hand a gold medal, whatever, right? But you're going to the whole body. So when love is this, right, that you love the body as your body, in a sense. Are you with me? Because that's how it's going to work. Because if I don't love my body, right, then it's hard for me to love someone else. I gave the example, and I'm gonna give you this story again. It was a man. He jogged every morning in his neighborhood, and this particular morning he was jogging, and a dog was in the neighborhood, a new dog, right? And the dog ran behind him, right? And well, the eye. First of all, the ears heard something, right? And the ear told the eye, you know, what's going on? The eye looked back. I said, a dog is coming. So the eye gave word to the feet, we got to run a little faster. So the feet ran for a while, and the feet asked the eyes, how are we doing? The eyes looked and said, not so good. Are you with me? This is the body now, right? You know, so now what we're going to do? So the eyes said, I see a stick up ahead. So send a message. I'm going to send a message to the hand and tell the hand to what? Get this stick so we could fight off the dog. Now, when they got to the stick, the hand said, I ain't going to do it. I'm not picking it up. Huh? Why? Because last winter, it was real cold. You went to the store and you bought a hat for the head. You bought coat for the body. You bought underwear for the body. You bought boots for the feet. But me, you could have got a glove, but no, you didn't get a glove for me. So I'm not going to pick this stick up. You see, that don't resonate, do it. Because the body loves the body. Mm-hmm. You, my head loves my feet just like it loves my hand. My hand loves my toes just like my toes love my. It's about love. It's about loving, true love. And that's how the body ought to be when it comes to brotherly love. We ought to love one another like that. And then it goes from brotherly love to earthly, you know, our neighbors. Love our neighbors, you know. Love our enemies. It's heavy. You know, we say to God, you know, some people, Lord, we just can't love. God has said, you love them anyhow. Are you with me? He said, he's telling us something, love them anyhow. You say, but God, I just can't. Now, if you can't love them, why do you expect me to love you? It's not like you all that. You're so perfect that, that you can't. Yes, you can. Are you with me? You might not have to go and knock on their door if they ask you not to knock on it, right? But if they should come to you, you should, have love for them. Are you with me? You should have love. You see, because love is not what you say. Love is more so what you give, what you do. You give. Love is something that you give. I heard a preacher say once again, he says, a bell is not a bell until you ring it. He said, a song is not a song until you sing it. He said, love is not something that you hold to yourself. Love is something that you give. Mm-hmm. Are you with me? You got to do something with love. It's just love. You know, you say you love it. Because you could say you love it, don't mean it. 1 Corinthians 13th chapter teaches us about that. Are you with me? About love. You see, we can act like we love, but God going to check the inside of us. Are you with me? It's going to come that day when we're going to truly get a check. You know, that examination, that particular day is going to be our final exam. And we're going to tell God, I have loved her, I love him. But God said, no, you didn't. Mm-hmm. Who are you fooling? You know? You can't fool me. You fooled her. You fooled him, but you can't fool me. You see, love is deeper. And you know, many people today, they find a way to hate you, but they don't seem like find a way to want to love you. You know? So we as Christians, we should always find a way to love. Even if the person don't want it, we can't force it on them, but we got it. Remember we spoke about that tree? We are the tree. We are the tree that God left. Right? We are that spiritual tree. And whenever somebody comes to pick spiritual fruit off of us, it should be there for them. You understand? At any time, you know, we're that fruitful tree, that tree of joy, peace, and long-suffering, and love. You know, we're that tree. And whenever someone comes to that tree, to us, to get some love, they ought to be able to get it. You see, it's just like an apple tree. When you go to an apple tree, you don't expect nothing but a what? Apple. You go to an orange tree, you don't expect nothing but an orange. You go to the tree of love, that's all you should get. That's what we are. Okay. Now, Paul is speaking about minding your business. You know, he spoke about minding your business. That's very important also. Are you with me? Be ye not busybodies in other people's, right? You know, we have to be careful about that because that's very important. Nobody wants a busybody around them. You know, I remember when me and my wife bought our house, right? It was a guy who came to me and says, oh, you got a house? And I said, yeah. He said, is it a secondhand house? I said, no, tenth-handed. Honestly. Right? Why would you even want... You ought to be just thankful that I got a house. But that was the question he asked. That was the question. He said, it's a second-hand house? And I said, the next answer was, no, it's a tenth-handed house. You see, some people, they just don't know that they don't know that they don't know, you know? And being a busybody, you know, it's just like I said to you before, right? I have worked with people a long time, and did not have to know how old they were. That don't affect me. I don't care how old you are. Are you with me? But I've been with some people. They wanted to know how old I was so bad. So they come up with a concoction, right, for me to say it. Just that bad they wanted to know, right? And I still won't tell them, right? But you know, we have to be careful about being a busybody, you know, because certain things we don't have to know. You know, certain things we don't need to know. You know, just leave it how much money you make per year. You know, he riding in a nice car. I wonder how much money is he making? He lives in a nice house. I mean, you know, what, mind your business, right? I mean, mind your business. Me too, same for me. Mind your business. Now, he speaks about people being asleep. You know, it was a problem. You know, the Thessalonians, right, they thought, they said, you know, well, you tell us that God will come back one day, and we're gonna be raised with him in the air. What about the people who are, what, dead already? They had a kind of like a problem with that. You know, they couldn't understand that. Paul was telling them like this. He said, if they're in God, they'll be risen first. They'll be, you know, the first to get out the grave. But one thing we have to do is be careful about television, because television distorts God's word to make it sell. Mm-hmm. You see, TV, you know, they want to set and make it sell. You know, they want to sell it. So they're going to kind of like rewrite it a little bit, right? And one of the things they try to rewrite is that when I've seen one time on TV, I forgot the name of this show was, that this movie was, right? But it was people, they was walking around, right? Just walking around, and then they just vanished. Are you with me? You know, they was, you know, walking around and just vanished. That was what? Supposed to be the rapture. Are you with me? That was supposed to be the, you know, when God comes back and we're going to meet him in the air. Right? This is television now, right? That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says when this happened, it's going to be what? Some horns. Yeah. Right? It's going to be a loud. Are you with me? It's going to be some noise up in the air. But you see, Hollywood didn't show that. All Hollywood did was show that people were disappearing. Are you with me? They were just disappearing. Are you with me? And no, you know, no nothing else, right? But we have to be careful about Hollywood, because Hollywood would take away a lot of things, just like some when you see Jesus's our baptism. Are you with me? The Bible teaches us that Jesus went down into the water. Are you with me? He was buried in the water, right? But you have some who are saying what? Who are showing what? It just pouring water on his head. Are you with me? So we got to be careful about Hollywood, and we got to really get down deep and study this Bible. Okay, because there's going to be in the last days a teach about there's going to be false prophets, false teaching. Are you with me? You know, that's one of the things that we got to worry about. But the real worry is the Antichrist people. The Antichrist people, they don't believe in God at all. What they don't, you know, at least false prophet, they say something about Christ, but they may teach it wrong. Are you with me? But anti means what? Against. Totally. Totally against. So we got those kind of people in the world who just don't believe at all. I was looking at the news, and it was showing about the gays, right? And it was showing that. I like SWAT. You know, you ever seen SWAT? I like SWAT, but this particular episode on SWAT, right? This girl, she's gay. You know what I'm saying, right? She's gay, right? And this little girl was, she was talking to, she, this little girl was really, she liked her, right? And she said, who are these people, right? She said, that's my boyfriend and that's my girlfriend. She was, this is what she was doing, teaching that to a little girl. Are you with me? She said, y'all live together? She said, yes, I'm getting ready to move in with him. That's my boyfriend and that's my girlfriend. She said, you won't understand it now, but, you see, television, this is what TV is doing to our children. And you have the people who are going to the schools, right? You have the drag queens going to the schools once again and teaching the little ones, having a little, you know, conversation with them. You've seen this on TV, right? Mm-hmm. Right? And why are we doing this? Because we don't know. That we don't know. Many don't know. Okay? So we as a church, we have to step up. And we have to step up and let it be known. Because, and be careful about TV, because TV would change a lot of stuff. It will change a lot of stuff what the Bible says, right? And you know how we like TV, you know? And a lot of people learn from TV, you know? They don't take time out to read the Bible, but they take time out to watch that TV. And that could be 24/7, you know? Television is very important to some folks. Okay. I need to read an introduction. Somebody read the introduction. We have a book, but just follow us. We read the book. The introduction.
You have an extra book up there on the...
Yeah.
No, ma'am.
Somebody got it?
Yeah.
Okay.
The introduction. Anybody. Don't be afraid. Come on now.
What page?
29.
At Philippi, there had been no synagogue. Paul had made modest inroads with the Gentile population of the city, but he determined that his next preaching destination would be a place with Jewish presence. Mm-hmm. And Philippi and Apollonia were important cities. Paul apparently passed them by because they had no synagogue. His destination was Thessalonica. Thessalonica was a relatively new city among the Greeks. It had been built in 316 BC by Cassander, a second-generation successor of Alexander the Great. He named the city after his wife, Thessalonica. By Paul's time, it had become the great city of Macedonia. The Roman proconsul in charge of northern Greece had his seat there. The city was adjacent to a fertile plain. Its seaport was second to none. It would be ideal for the church to have a beachhead in Thessalonica.
Okay, once again, we see that Paul, he liked to preach in synagogues. You know, he liked to preach inside, where Jesus preached inside and out. You know, Jesus, he preached on a mountain. Are you with me? You know, but Paul, he had this thing about, you know, he would, I'm sure, preach outside, but he likes to be around the Jews, and he know that Jews would have a synagogue. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Persuaded people. Anybody?
As a matter of principle, when Paul went into a city, he preached first to the Jews, Romans 1:16. They were the ones who expected the fulfillment of prophetic promises. They also knew and worshiped the one God of creation. It was a matter of choice and expediency for Paul to go to his own people first. That Paul went to Jews first carries no implication that God wants missionaries in subsequent generations to preach to Jews before non-Jews. After the cross, Jews have no special standing with God. God is impartial. Acts 10:34. All are lost in sin. Romans 3:23. all need Christ as Savior. Acts 4:12. Modern Jews have no divinely given role in inaugurating a thousand-year reign of Christ on the earth. Thousands of earnest people are altogether mistaken when they send millions of dollars a year to Israel, trying to advance the cause of the modern state on the theory that the return of the Lord is tied to the success of the nation. Paul went to Jews first because they were his people. He understood them. He knew their dreams, hopes, and fears. His first converts often came from their numbers.
Okay, stop right there. You see, we see that now today, you know, people, they speak a lot about Israel. You know, Israel, you know, and it's good. My understanding and our understanding is this, right, that God used Israel to bring who? Christ. After Christ has come, we became what? Christians. Are you with me? But all the way he used Jews, all the way, right? All the way to Christ. And Christ finished what he was supposed to do. Right, but nowadays, you know, you many people are led to believe all Jews is going to heaven. You know, all you have to be is a Jew to get to heaven, right? And maybe if they're teaching that, that's not so, because you got some Jews who are wrong too. So we are known as Christians today. You have Jews, you have Spanish, you have whatever, right? You have different, right? But still, we are all what? One Christian. Remember the one, okay?
Just kind of remember, this goes all the way back to Abraham, the promise that was made to Abraham. Mm-hmm. All nations would be blessed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's for fulfillment of that promise that was given to Abraham because of his seed. All nations would be blessed. Mm-hmm. And that's fulfilling that we would be blessed because of the promise made to Abraham.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And on the day of Pentecost, what happened? Many nations, are you with me? Many nations came together and were saved, you see. But you know, people, either they try to make stress it that if you were a Jew, you know, you're going to heaven. You know, maybe, if I'm wrong, help me. But maybe that's not what God was expected.
Well, a lot of Jews today don't even practice
exactly
the faith. Mm-hmm. It's more a cultural thing.
Mm-hmm. Judaism.
They might practice some holidays, but a lot of them don't even do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And a lot, like I said, they still, some, if I'm not mistaken, some don't believe that Christ was, I'm not going to go down. Right? I'm not going there. But anyway, we are Christians. And back to what we said last week and week before, it's the oneness. There is one faith. Are you with me? One God. One Jesus. Are you with me? One. And just like, it's just like on that boat that Noah built. It was just one. And everybody and anybody who was going to be saved should have got on that what? Boat. Mm-hmm. Are you with me? Just one. Remember, in the garden, once again, it was one tree. That one tree that separated us. Right? On Calvary, there was one tree that what? Brought us back to God. Are you with me? It's just one. God didn't use two and three and whatever. It was just one. Are you with me? One Jesus. He died one time. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Well, Christ came first to the Jews. And some accepted him and some didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like that for us today.
Mm-hmm.
He came for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And some are accepting him.
Mm-hmm.
And some are not.
Some are not. Even in the church, you know, just like we said before here, you know, some people, they're doing stuff that they're not supposed to do, right? If they could just get in a church that don't blame them so much, right, then that's the church for me, right? I know I'm a fornicator. Preacher, you don't have to preach that every Sunday. Are you with me? You know, I know I play some numbers, right? You ain't got to, you know, I don't like going to churches like that. Are you with me? But that's where we're at today. Are you with me? A lot of people just want what the flesh needs. And we want what the spirit needs. Are you with me? That's the difference between us. Are you with me? But Paul, like I said, he made it clear for us. He made it clear about this, the flesh and the spirit. You know, the flesh lusts after things. Love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The love of the world is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and these are not of God. Are you with me? These are of the flesh. That's when we love, just like when we love one another. When we love one another, we shouldn't love through and by the flesh. Because one thing about the flesh dies out. The flesh gets tired. The flesh just don't feel like it. Are you with me? But when we love through the Spirit, and that's a learning thing, when we love through the Spirit, we see one another differently. And we see a reason why we should love. Even if that person is a mass murderer, right? We see a reason why we should love that person. They said, I forgot the name of this guy, but he had murdered many, many people, right? And they said that when he got to prison, he got saved. Are you with me? So when we love, when we look at it, when we love, we see past that. We don't see the flesh no more. We see the spirit, and what could happen to this person? This good thing that could happen to this person if this person accept Christ, right? But if we look at it through the flesh, we won't see that. We will see, you know, I hate you, you know, for doing what you've done, and I'm never going to forgive you. Are you with me? You know, you got, you know, I just, you know. That's the flesh. That's the flesh. The flesh gets tired. It gets weary, you know. You know, I know I'm older than I was before, but my wife, you know, she's still with me. Are you with me? But if she look at that, the flesh, she'll say, kid, I got to go, Chris. You just, I don't know what you're doing. Are you with me? The flesh, but the spirit, she would know that, hey, we're growing old, and we're not going to look the same. We're not going to move the same. We probably, you know, are you with me? That's the spirit, you see? The spirit understands things like that, but the flesh, look, you know, I need something new, something young and new. You know, you can't hardly move no more, you know? Amen. I continue to be sister.
For 3 weeks, Paul found the synagogue in Thessalonica open to him. He reasoned from the scriptures. Heartfelt religion is not to be taken lightly. Mm-hmm. But the apostle began with the mind. He persuaded. It is true that lukewarm Christians are the bane of the church. It is true that many in modern audiences need a heart change. Still, Paul began by reasoning. Faith begins with persuasion. The faith that lasts over generation builds on affirmations. People are lost in sin. Jesus of Nazareth was God's son. He died to save them from sin. He arose from the dead. He reigns at God's right hand.
Okay.
He is coming again.
Okay, start right there. Lukewarm Christians, right? We spoke about that before. Lukewarm is what? Not cold or hot. It's like many of us say straddling the fence. You know, Revelation speaks about the lukewarm Christians, and the reason why it speaks about that particular church is because that church, he gave the example of that particular church didn't have water, or good water, right? And what happened is they had to bring the water in, and the water became diluted. It wasn't good water to drink, right? Because it was lukewarm, right? And if it's not, the water wasn't good enough to drink, then it would make them sick. So God said to them, he says, because you are lukewarm, you what? You make me sick, right? So lukewarm is people, is Christians, right, who straddle the fence. Are you with me? They it's like they pay attention more to important things than, in other words, some sins is okay and some sins are not. Are you with me? And being lukewarm, it's kind of like, you know, you know, you're not hot and you're not cold. Jesus said, I'd rather you be hot or cold, but not lukewarm, right? I'd rather you be wrong, right, or right. But when you, you know, when you hear, you're fooling somebody. Are you with me? You're teaching lukewarmness. You're teaching, you know, you're teaching the wrong thing. You're teaching people that it's okay to do this, and, you know, long as you, you know, don't do it in front of the preacher. Are you with me? It's all right to do it. You know, just make sure you, you know, you don't do it on Sunday. Are you with me? And you know, people teach stuff like that. You know, as long as you don't do it on Sunday, you're okay. You're all right, but not Sunday. You know, because Sunday is that important day to, you know, that, you know, to do so. But lukewarm, like I said, you're at a place wherein you're not hot nor cold. You're at a place wherein, you know, anything goes. You know. In other words, at any means necessary. Are you with me? Go ahead.
We live in a world today where we are taught to go along, to get along. Mm-hmm. And that's the devil's way of thinking, mm-hmm, in a sense, because even if you know what is right, you're going to go along. You'll be silent and go along just to keep from stirring up any waves or to cause any trouble, if they would name you a troublemaker, mm-hmm, or to cause problems. Mm-hmm. We have to be bold enough and secure in our faith enough to know what is right and stand for it and stand on it. If you are lukewarm, you don't stand for anything, mm-hmm, but you go along with everything. Mm-hmm. And you try not to be noticed, you try not to be the one that want to cause a wave or raise opposition. Mm-hmm. But this is what the devil causes anyway, opposition, chaos. He causes problems. He tries to cause us to be against each other. Mm-hmm. As long as he can cause confusion, then we can't stand together because we're against each other.
Exactly. Separation and division. That's what he wants to do. And that's what lukewarmness causes. Right, and there are times that we look at sin, some sins as being minor, and other sins as being bigger. You don't do big sins. You do, you know, if you got the sin minor, right? And remember, if it's a crowd, you know, like you said, go along with the crowd, so you won't be cast out, you know, especially on your jobs, right? You know you got to work with the people, so go along with them, you know. If they go into the break room and they drink a cold one, go ahead on. You ain't got to drink a whole can, right? Just take a drink with them, right? You know, and just put a mint candy in your mouth before you go home, you know, so your wife won't ask no questions, you know. So forth and so on. I read a book. I was And I wouldn't tell you to study this, right? But it's out there. It's called Luciferians. Luciferians. You ever heard of that? I told you about this before. Luciferians. Luciferians is a group of people that they believe that Lucifer was God didn't deal with Lucifer correctly. He didn't deal with Lucifer justly. Okay? And Luciferians, their teaching is this, right? That you have to split it 50-50. Are you with me? Do some things for Lucifer and do some things for God so there won't be no what? Chaos in your life. This is Lucifer. Take it down. Look it up. Right? You know? And I met a guy on the job some years ago when I used to work with, right? He came to me and said like this. He said, he wasn't talking to me, but he knew that I was a preacher, and he just wanted me to hear this, right? Just to see what I would say, right? But this is what he said. He said that, you know, you got to give the devil his due. Because if you don't, the devil will give you a hard time. So in other words, for the devil not to give you a hard time, you got to what? Give him his due. And I said, and I just had to intervene. I said, no, that's not right. And then another said, he believed it too. I said, okay. And then sometime later on, I read about the Luciferians, right? And these are, like I said, these are the people. And like I said, you know, be careful when you read these things, right? Because it's sometimes it's some good stuff in it. But don't get caught up in the good stuff. Get caught up in God's word. Are you with me? Get caught up in his word, in God's word, right? But like I said, these people, they believe that, you know, you do something for the devil so he won't get mad. Are you with me? And you do something for God so he won't get mad. Right? Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
That's the purpose of why we have to study to show ourselves approved.
Exactly.
Because if you don't know and someone tells you something and everybody else is doing it, then you feel like, oh yeah, it's okay. Because everybody else is doing it. Mm-hmm. So it got to be okay. Mm-hmm. But if you know the truth, that's why we're supposed to teach our children and we're supposed to study the Bible to show ourselves approved. Teach them so they will have a foundation. Even when they get old and they depart from it, they will know what the truth is. Mm-hmm. They know what to come back to. Mm-hmm. But if you don't know, you get out with a group of people, just like if we go in a different country, and everybody is eating goat, then we think that's the right thing to eat. You know, if we, you know that we should not eat goat. I mean, we don't know that we should not eat goat. Then we're going to go along with it and think that's the best thing it ever was to eat. Because that's the custom. That's what everybody does. They've been doing it for 100 years. But if you know that that's not right, or definitely we go to a country where they're eating people, you know, you apply the same thing. Once you know what the truth is, that's what's supposed to set you free.
Exactly.
But if you don't, you just want to go along with it to say, okay, well, I'm in with the crowd, and that's not right.
Exactly.
You know, you have to be bold enough to go against it or not to do it yourself, at least.
And like you said, bring them up. Our children today is in trouble. Mm-hmm. They're in deep trouble, as we stated before. You know, our grandkids, our great-grandkids, they're in trouble these days, right? Because one time we went to school to learn ABCs and history, English, stuff like that. But our schools today is teaching some weird stuff. There was this school that said that the reason why they took the Bible out of the library is because the Bible has too much graphic stuff in it. You know, you say, Brother Pastor, where are you getting all this stuff? I got it off the TV when I heard, right? And they said that the Bible is too graphic. It speaks about, you remember when God told Saul to kill all the Amalekites? Mm-hmm. The men, the women, mm-hmm. the babies, you remember? Mm-hmm. And they read that, right? And they said that's too graphic for the children, right? In some ways, it maybe is, because, you don't feed a baby steak. Are you with me? You don't feed the baby, that's true, you don't feed the baby steak, right? You got to start with milk, right? But they're saying that it's too graphic, and you got Solomon, who had a lot of wives. That's too, and that's why they don't want the Bible in the schools.
But sexually explicit stuff is okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Are you with me? That's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But just because the Bible's not in school does not mean it shouldn't be in your home. Mm-hmm. So that shouldn't matter whether the school got it or not. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to come from home anyway. Mm-hmm. So as long as you have yours at home, you should be okay. Mm-hmm. But, the school is taking out a lot of stuff that the kids need. So the school taking it out, then you need to have it at home. Mm-hmm. Don't make that an excuse for not teaching the right thing because the school mm-hmm. don't have. Look at the people who are running the school. Mm-hmm. Are they God-minded? Mm-hmm. Well, then you're not. Mm-hmm. But just because the school don't have it don't mean that it shouldn't come from the home. It's mm-hmm. no excuse mm-hmm. unless the home just don't have it itself.
Exactly.
We have to teach our children mm-hmm. at home. Because when you go out in the world, it's not there. It's not there anymore. So whether the school have it or not, that's not an excuse for you not teaching your child at home.
Okay. Okay. All right, continue to read this. We're going to finish this, right? Continue to read.
Few places in the scriptures show better the burden of Paul's preaching to Jews than when he reasoned in the synagogue of Thessalonica. First, he showed them from Scripture that it was necessary for Christ to suffer. Many of his contemporary Jews believed that Christ, God's anointed one, would reign only on earthly throne over a kingdom like David's. Acts doesn't list passages that Paul used to show Jews that the Messiah had to suffer. But Isaiah 52:13, 53:12. And Psalm 22 come to mind. Having persuaded them that the Christ was to suffer, Paul's second task was to convince them that Jesus of Nazareth, their near contemporary, was the Christ of God had promised. The resurrection of the dead figured prominently in the proof Paul offered. Many were persuaded. The authors of Acts singles out for special mention a number of God-fearing Greeks. Gentiles loosely attached to the synagogue were a fertile field for the gospel. They had never embraced dietary observances and the celebration of special days required of Jews. The men among them had not accepted circumcision. In addition to the God-fearers, Acts mentions a number of leading, upstanding, respectable women who became Christians. The church has always owed and continues to owe much to its God.
Praise be to God for you women. Thank you, sisters. Every church you go to has more what? Sisters. Why is that? Thank you, sisters.